When's the last time you heard really good news? Now, for Nancy and I, it was 2 weeks ago, coming Tuesday, our eighth grandchild arrived. And that was great news. How about a hand? Baby's fine, mom's fine, and we got to be there. That was a treat. How about you? I'm going to ask two or three of you, just shout out a one-sentence good news, and I want all of us to clap. Any of you like to give us recent, really good news, and we'll all hear that and applaud. Two or three of you, not a five-minute speech, a one-sentence, my good news is, two or three of you, please, shout it out. Son got married. How about a hand? Someone else. Tony.
My wife got a clean bill of health.
Ooh. That's worth applause. Anything else? One more. Friends having her fourth baby. We love good news. And that's what we're going to be talking about for the next 34 or 37 weeks is good news. Not just, I mean, I like grandchildren, that's pretty good news. But the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man, is really good news. And it's good news for everybody, us here, those in Japan. By the way, I don't know if you saw, Tim and Sue have a table over here. I don't know if you mentioned that or not. But anyway, go see this table and you'll have a little taste of Japan, where they eat rice. They're very smart in Japan. The best news ever. Now, Mark writes his, I love Mark. It's my Rosetta Stone book. In 1975, as a college student, grew up in a church, had never read the Bible until I was a sophomore in college. And Mark is the book that opened scripture for me. We had a guy in high school who played basketball. He only had one move. We called him One Move. And I've only got one book. They call me One Book. Actually, I have more, but I do love the Gospel of Mark, partly because it's narrative. I like narrative. And what narrative does is invite you into the story to become part of the story and respond to the story. And I hope that happens for us in these next months. Now, as I'm going to read the first 15 verses of Mark, and I'd like you to be listening for a couple things, three things actually. One, I want you to be thinking about, as I read, what did you hear that indicates Jesus himself is the good news? Second, would you be listening for what he proclaims about his kingdom? And third, would you be looking for how he invites us to enter his kingdom? So he is the good news, what he proclaims about his kingdom, and how he invites us to enter his kingdom. Mark 1, the first 15 verses. At the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I've baptized you with the Spirit, but with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals and the angels ministering to him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Now, some of the gospels have lengthy introductions. For Mark, this is it. Things happen fast in the book of Mark. And just kind of prepare yourself to hold on. He moves quick. There's lots of action. And I'll leave it there. Things happen fast in Mark. It's exciting. I like it. Jesus Christ is the good news. The Son of Man, the Son of God, confirmed by God, and victorious over Satan. I'm going to talk a little bit about those, but that is good news. Now, this idea of the Son of Man sounds like it's coming out of the blue. You're going to hear that phrase and read that name several times in the Gospel of Mark. That name, it's a name Jesus takes for himself, and it relates, I believe, to his baptism. You might wonder, why was Jesus baptized? What was John's sermon? He was preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And Jesus, along with everybody else, maybe 100,000, 150,000 people in Jerusalem and Judea, a large group of people responded, which is amazing in itself, and Jesus went along. Why? He had no sin. He really had nothing to confess. But I think this is my thought. This idea of the Son of Man, a name he takes for himself, we see that in his baptism. He was fully human. He completely identified with people. You know, we know about the incarnation, and he was fully God and he was fully man. This is Mark's way of telling us, in part of what he's telling us, is Jesus identified totally as a human. That's good news for us. He was born as a child. He grew up. He knows what it is to be human. And so be watching in the book of Mark for his name he takes for himself, the Son of Man. It's mentioned, I think, almost 200 times in all of Scripture. About 100 of those are in the book of Ezekiel, so if you're longing to read a prophet, you might go back and read Ezekiel about the Son of Man. Now, when Jesus was baptized, it's a fascinating story in a lot of ways, partly because John, by the way, Mark's idea about John the Baptist is that he was the fulfillment of a prophecy in Malachi, that God would send his messenger to prepare the way of Jesus. The reason John wore these weird clothes and ate grasshoppers, that's what prophets did. And so this is Mark's way of saying, yeah, he was the prophet that God promised his people would show up to announce the arrival of the Messiah. I've eaten grasshoppers a couple times, not necessarily recommend it, but if they're fried good, you don't taste much but a crunch. But what a diet, you know, I'll stop with the diets. When Jesus was baptized in his identification with humans, a miracle happened. He saw heaven torn open. He saw the Holy Spirit descend upon him, and he directly heard God's voice. And God's voice said, "I love you, and I'm happy with you." As Jesus was beginning his ministry, he had this confirmation from God his Father, as he fully identified as a human, "You are my beloved Son. I am really happy with you." How many of us would like to have heard our Father say that to us? These are very powerful words. God says, God, our Heavenly Father, does say that same thing to you and to I and to me. I love you. I'm happy with you. Now see, this is part of the good news. We have a Father, a Heavenly Father, who really does love us and is pleased with us. That's why he sent his Son in the first place. But I'm going to ask us to do a little application thing here. I'm going to pause just for a few seconds and just ask you to think for a minute, maybe even ask your Heavenly Father, I would like to hear these words from you, that you love me and you're actually pleased with me. So a little bit of silence. Would you just reflect on God's love for you and his pleasure in you? Thank you, Father, that you love your Son and you love us as your children. And help us bask in your pleasure as we respond to this good news. Amen. Jesus Christ, Son of God, Son of man, confirmed by God, and victorious over Satan. It's pretty interesting to me that the first thing the Holy Spirit did he suggest Jesus go to the wilderness? Did he say, why don't you, it might be a good idea. The Holy Spirit drove Jesus, that's a pretty strong word, being driven by the Spirit into the wilderness for what? 40 days of testing and temptation. Now, what's going on here? Here's what my suggestion is, and I think this is borne out. As Jesus begins establishing his kingdom, he has proved to himself and to Satan that Jesus has authority over the world of evil. As he begins establishing, it's with authority even over Satan. And as we go through Mark, you're going to see this happen several times. Evil spirits will jump up. They'll say something weird, and Jesus will say, shut up and leave. And they do. And when we get to Mark 3, Jesus is going to talk about binding the strong man and plundering his treasure. See, that was confirmed to Jesus in these 40 days. He, in fact, had authority over Satan. He withstood the temptation. He was supernaturally resourced by angels and even communed with the wild animals. Strange thing. But what happened is he conquered the strong man. He bound him. And as he establishes his kingdom, he's plundering Satan's prey. That is good news. That is good news. Son of God, Son of man, confirmed by God, victorious over Satan. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. After John was put in prison, Jesus came and began proclaiming his kingdom. Now, he was the only one with the authority to proclaim this kingdom. It says, after John was arrested, nobody else is on the scene. It's Jesus himself. The same thing happens in Mark 12 in the Transfiguration. Jesus is having a chat with Moses and Ezekiel? No. Elijah. Cloud comes over. Cloud lifts. Only Jesus is left standing. And God says, this is my son. Listen to him. Jesus is the one with the authority to proclaim his kingdom. And over this next couple of weeks, Will preaches next week, and then Tim, I think, in 2 weeks, we're going to see time and example after example after example of Jesus' authority over his disciples, over scripture, over unclean spirits, sickness, distraction, uncleanness, tradition, the Sabbath, leadership in his kingdom. He appoints 12 new apostles and over Satan's kingdom. Jesus has authority to proclaim his kingdom. Now, when you think of the kingdom of God, what do you think of? There's all different kinds of things that we could think of. But I want to give a very brief definition of the kingdom of God. Is anywhere where God's will reigns. The kingdom of God is the rule and reign of God, wherever that happens. That I think it's from the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's rule and reign is his kingdom. And Jesus is announcing that that rule and that reign is, hold out your hand. Would you hold out your hand for a minute? That's how close God's rule and reign is. Jesus says, it's at hand. It's now. It's happening right before your eyes. And Mark's going to tell us that story of it happening right in front of people's eyes and invite a response. We long for God's rule and God's reign. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. Everything was happening as God intended. But since then, until now, God's rule and reign has been disrupted. It was disrupted in the garden by Adam and Eve. And in the story of Mark, there's great conflict between Jesus and the religious leaders. They disrupted God's rule and reign. And each of us, you and I, have also disrupted God's rule and reign. And here's the dynamic that happens in that, is here's how we disrupt. It goes clear back to Adam and Eve. Is we believe, we listen to the lies about God, and then we act out our misbelief. And probably the main thing, the main lie we believe, is that God really doesn't have our best interests at heart. That in some way he wants to use us or take advantage of us. And you know what? That is just a lie. When we believe that, we begin grasping things for ourselves. Part of what Adam and Eve did is say, yeah, God, you got a good idea, but I want to be my own God. I'm going to do it my way. We do the same thing. God's kingdom has been disrupted. That's point two, by the way. We've talked about Jesus is the good news, about he proclaimed his kingdom. His kingdom was the rule and reign of God. And then lastly, he tells us, he invites us, pleads with us, begs us to enter his kingdom. By how? By repentance and belief. Similar to John's, but it's expanded. As John said, the one who comes after me is greater. This is a greater message. Not only do we repent, which basically means changing your mind. Remember, we believe those lies about God? We can change your mind about those lies. It's like a U-turn. You make a U-turn. Or you empty your brain of one thing and add something new to it. That's repentance, is a change in direction. And we need to change our ideas about the lies of God that we listen to. And we need to believe. Believe is much more than mental assent to a list of principles. It has to do with trust, with loyalty, and response. You know, again, as we work through Mark, I want you to be watching for the way Mark defines his own ideas. He's very good at that. For example, belief. Mark gives us the idea, and I think from Jesus himself, that belief can be seen. Belief or faith is visible. We're going to hear about this next week as Will preaches through the next section of Mark. The disciples' response, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus came to them and basically told them, repent and believe. And you can see by their behavior, they left their boats, that they believed. Same thing when Tim's preaching in, about the paralytic. You remember that story? Some friends brought their paralyzed friends, put him down through the roof, and it says, Jesus saw their faith. Watch for the word of faith as we go through Mark and see how he defines it. It's very interesting. It's much more than just belief. How about our belief? Is it visible? Well, I can see every one of you here this morning. If you did not believe in God in some way, you would not be here. This is an expression of faith, visible belief, when we gather together. I don't know how many different countries Will mentioned this morning. In all those countries, and virtually every country in the world, there are gatherings like this happening on to witness that this is true. We do believe Jesus is the good news. Talking to others is another good way to show our faith, and coming soon to a church near you is something called Christianity Explored. Tony's going to lead us through a several-week seminar where we can invite our friends to very interesting videos and low threshold. Coming soon. Wait for Tony's announcement. It can come to us this morning. I don't know where you are in your faith response to Jesus, but his kingdom is this close to you. And you are invited. I am invited. We are invited to enter that kingdom by changing our minds about some things. Sometimes that's a public change of mind. That's what baptism is, a public declaration that I've changed my mind. I've changed my allegiance. And by living out our faith. This is the kickoff to Mark. I'm just thrilled that we're going through it. Jesus Christ is the good news. He proclaims his kingdom where God's rule and reign is restored in spite of our disruption. His kingdom is coming. We can join his kingdom. Thank you.